One.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, welcome to Business Insanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 317. This episode is provided by Sage One, an online accounting and business service solution for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. And I want to welcome our new sponsor, the UPS stores, who are helping small businesses succeed every day of the week. Well, we have a special show today. Shark Tank star Damon John is going to join us to show us how to pick the next $1 million idea for your business. I'm also going to feature a guest that says that you can be more productive by changing one habit in just 4 seconds. Plus, if you're a small retail store owner, how do you compete with the big box stores? I'm going to introduce you to a local small business owner has done that for 10 years and won. But first, you know, most small business owners, let's face it, they hate to sell. But selling your product and your service is a critical part of growing your company. My next guest believes that anyone can learn how to sell in a short period of time. Tom Hopkins is world-renowned as the builder of sales champions. Over 5 million salespeople on 5 continents have attended Tom's sales trainings. Tom got his start in the field of real estate. After failing miserably in his first 6 months, he discovered that successfully selling is a learned skill. He became an avid student, making selling his hobby. Within 8 years, he achieved millionaire status, having sold, and get this, 1,553 homes. Tom, of course, the author of How to Master the Art of Selling, which has sold over 1.7 million copies. He has authored 17 other books on the topics of selling and success. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, hi, Barry. So nice to be back and hearing your excited voice.
Thanks. So what is the single biggest mistake that most small businesses make when it comes to sales?
I would say if I had to choose one, it would be not creating and developing a strategic keep-in-touch program. Now, what I mean by that, many businesses have people who've invested in their products or services. These people believe it or they wouldn't have spent the money to get the product. But then they are neglected. And I totally believe that you must keep in touch. I think they have to develop a strategic plan to where it's an automatic system of keeping in touch, following up. It can be tied to holidays. It could be tied to their birthday when you get that after you sell the product. It could be also tied to an anniversary date. But I would say the biggest single mistake is neglecting existing clients, and thus the existing clients go to the competitor. So by developing this strategic keep-in-touch program, they will think of you, and that old saying, out of sight, out of mind, won't be true, and you'll keep loyal clients and customers for many, many years.
So why don't more people do that? Because I'm a big believer in having a process around sales that you got to be there when people are ready to buy. Are we so busy focusing on bringing the new customers to the front door, we forget about the existing ones who let them escape through the back door?
You know, you couldn't have put it better, Barry. That's exactly what it is. Yes, we want people coming in and getting our products. We're trying to attract them through advertising, through creative ways of contacting people. But the existing clients get neglected, and it's human nature for some reason. But I was a fanatic on keeping in touch with everyone that invested in a home or listed their home with me when I was in real estate. And some of those people, over the 8 years I was in the business, I had them buy 3 or 4 properties, and I know the reason was I was a follow-up specialist, and they had me in their mind when they thought of real estate.
Absolutely. We're talking with Tom Hopkins. He is the worldwide number one sales trainer. Tom, how do you suggest that business people, they have this fear of not wanting to sell something that people don't want? That's what they're afraid of, right?
Well, this is normal as well. This is one reason why I think you have to realize that if you're not paying for the product, then you shouldn't be that worried, because they would not usually invest the money if it wasn't something they wanted. and people's tastes are so different. I don't think a business owner should fear selling something. I think that they should be more afraid if they don't handle the people properly. And one of the things I think is important is that you do study and try your best to not come across as a stereotypical salesperson, but instead come across as a very nice person who shows this service-oriented attitude, who really is there to help. And I think in doing so, you'll create a relationship. Some of the top retail business salespeople I've ever met, they really are friendly and nice. They start with a big smile. They are appealing in their personality and temperament, and they ask a lot of questions, and they're excellent listeners. So asking and listening is more important than talking and telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things that none of us really want to hear, and the reason that I think that people shy away so much from sales, is they hate that word no. What should people do when they hear the word no?
Well, I think you have to realize that the word no is like a signpost on the way to the yes. And I think it's just human nature for someone, before they make any type of purchase, before they spend money, I think we could call this a generality, that the average person has to say no before they can say yes. And
why is that, Tom? But we'd have to make sure that we don't feel like we're being taken. Is that the idea? They have to show some
exactly.
resistance?
I totally feel that, you know, they must almost say no, so we have to help them rationalize saying the yes. So it's almost normal, so we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should almost say, hey, let's get the no's out of the way and we'll get to the yeses.
Yeah, I always ask people, I want to get like a quick no, right? I want to get all those out of the way.
Yeah, that's right.
So how can people separate when people say no to your product and service and don't think that they're saying no to you personally? I find that a huge problem.
Well, I think you have to just realize that it's normal and you've got to really have a thicker skin. You can't take it personally. And I guess this is not easy. I mean, no one likes rejection. No one likes to feel they're being rejected. But I've learned over the years, Barry, that the no's are almost necessary. And I just tried to say, hey, and you've got to burn the past every day, meaning yesterday's mm-hmm. no's must be forgotten. What happened yesterday as far as the way a person handled you or the way they came across to you, that's the past. And you got to live in the present moment, focus on the next client or customer you're going to serve. And I think in doing so, you'll stay focused on doing and saying the right things with building rapport, helping people overcome their objections, and, of course, getting them to say yes to make the investment in your product or service.
Now, one of the things that you've done very well is you teach people these questioning strategies so you can really find out what the buyer is looking for. Give us a quick idea of what some of these are like.
Well, I teach lots of questions, Barry, but I'll give you a couple ideas. I think that qualifying a person, you need to do ask the right questions, but I also feel you need to ask questions that give you the information you need. And one of the very best is called the alternative choice question. And it's basically a question with two answers, and either answer they give you is a minor agreement leading towards a major decision. And the best uses of this alternative choice would be when you want to meet someone. Instead of saying, when can we get together, you would say, I'm available today or would tomorrow be better? I can see you at 6 or would 8 be better? We can meet at my office or would you prefer coming to your home? So the alternative choice is a really nice little question that lets you get the answer that will help you go to the next thing you need. And then another question I've always enjoyed is called the tie-down question. Now, the tie-down question is a question at the end of a sentence that, in essence, demands a yes. And I used one just now, didn't I? And that was one, wasn't it? And they're kind of fun, aren't they? In other words, Barry is taking, isn't it, doesn't it, wasn't it, couldn't it, wouldn't it, shouldn't it, can't you, won't you, haven't you, hasn't he? And putting those little words on the end of sentences with a nice little nod. And what's surprising, Barry, when you do that, when you say to someone, a reputation for professionalism is important, isn't it? You'll be amazed how they will not only nod back at you, but they will agree. And this is called building the yes momentum, minor yeses leading towards the major yes, which is when they write the check and invest in your product.
Now, Tom, this was a good interview, wasn't it?
That a boy.
So you really believe, and we got 30 seconds left, you really believe that choosing your words carefully is really important for a salesperson?
Oh, yes. I as a wordsmith, which they've called me, I really believe that you've got to be careful not to use fear-producing root words. Words like cost or price, instead, it's the total investment, or buy should be own. All these little words make the difference, because in a way, in communication, that's what we communicate with, the words that we say and how we say them.
Right. Well, Tom, thanks so much for being again on the show. If you want to get in touch with Tom, he's at www.tomhopkins.com. Thanks again, Tom.
Thank you always, Barry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Coming up, Damon Johns, the creator of FUBU and the star of Shark Tank, is going to tell you how to pick the right idea to build your next multi-million dollar business. This is AM 560. The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm George Gazzabalos, taking a look at your traffic. Not a lot happening in the roads right now. The Eden's looking good either way. Same thing with the Kennedy. No problems on the Eisenhower or the Stevenson. If you're traveling on the Dan Ryan headed inbound, 95th downtown, it's going to take you 15 minutes. Outbound back to 95th, 15 as well. I-57 and the Bishop Ford fine. Rest of the roadways, too. This traffic report is sponsored by Unbound. You are not alone. That's the message you send when you sponsor an elder living in poverty. Unbound is the only international sponsorship organization serving society's oldest and most vulnerable members. Learn more at unbound.org. That's unbound.org. AM 560 weather right now. It is about 40 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next update is going to be in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
When the Prime Minister of Israel, our only true ally in the Middle East, spoke to Congress, the President got mad. Some Democrats even refused to attend and wouldn't hear his concerns over a treaty with Iran and their attempt to get a nuclear bomb. What is it that has made Democrats and the President the enemy of our friend? They won't use Muslim and terrorist in the same sentence while they cozy up to Iran and turn their back on our friends. Just keep listening to this station. AM 560, The Answer.
Four new employees, a 20% increase in revenue. Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
I have a confession to make. My name's Tony Orlando, and I love the services at the UPS store.
I also have a confession to make. I'm a UPS store owner, and I wish more people knew about our printing services.
I love your printing services.
You know we can print almost anything. Flyers, business cards, brochures.
You are my new best friend.
Visit theupsstore.com and see why small business owners can't get enough of everything we do. The UPS Store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location.
Hello, and welcome to our annual company event celebrating all of our end-of-the-year achievements. We'd like to start out by saying thank you for making this such a great year.
Are you planning a company event on a budget? Events come in all shapes and sizes, from drop-off meeting catering and luncheons to cocktail receptions and plated dinner ceremonies. At Tasty Catering, no matter what size or type of event you're hosting, they understand that you want it to be simple to plan, completely within budget, and a huge success. Professionals across the Chicagoland area agree. Partnering with Tasty Catering consistently brings them high-quality catering and service that always matches those needs. For the most valuable, high-quality catering in the area, Chicago chooses Tasty Catering. View their menus and more when you visit tastycatering.com. That's tastycatering.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
It's a contest that could change aspiring entrepreneurs' lives forever. Those with an original business idea compete for a chance to win a grand prize of $200,000 and receive expert advice from Damon John. For the past 2 years, I've been able to team up with Miller Lite in their Tap the Future contest to help passionate entrepreneurs make their business dreams a reality. Joining us today is the creator of the clothing line FUBU and star of Shark Tank, Damon John, and Bellhop's co-founder, Stephen Vallejos, and Cameron Duty, who won the Tap the Future contest last year. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Damon, lots of entrepreneurs have business ideas. How do they know if there's any good or they should even pursue it?
Well, of course, first you do your initial, your initial study and homework and analytics about the business. But, you know, you really don't know until you go to market and you talk to a bunch of people and pitch on a public stage such as Miller Lite Tap the Future contest. And, you know, and you get feedback from judges and from the audience and the other competitors.
So for the Tap the Future contest or when you're on Shark Tank, what do you look for in a winning business?
Well, I look for a couple of things. I look for, is the business investable? I mean, you know, is it scalable? Is it something that, you know, we can all make money together on? Is the idea or concept, somewhat original and, do I resonate with it? And, can the person share this information in a timely manner when they're pitching, 2-3 minutes? Can I get it? Keep it real simple because it's overcomplicated. A lot of times the business is overcomplicated.
And do you think it's overcomplicated because people are nervous presenting or they really can't boil it down to, okay, here's really the pain that I solve and this is how it's going to work?
Well, nervous can have something to do with it, but generally they haven't figured out the entire model of the business. And they say, when you have too much opportunity, you don't have enough information. And they don't really have a clear course on how they're going to get from stage A to stage Z. And when that happens, they start to complicate it and start to throw all these other things into the pitch to make it sound better, but it really makes it sound worse.
Is focus, Damon, ever a problem? They're trying to be everything to all people instead of just focusing on one market and one customer?
Absolutely. I think that no matter what it is, you have to really focus on your core customer. Now, your business will sometimes attract other customers, and then the business will start feeding back that there's room for growth. And, of course, you cannot ignore that, but you have to master exactly where you're at the time and stay laser-focused. Make those mistakes small, so when you get to that larger level, you've already kind of, got some of the bugs out of the business.
Right. Now, you've been part of Tap the Future for 3 years. What was your interest in getting involved with this type of contest?
Well, this is an amazing platform where it gives, a brand such as Miller Lite is supporting everyday entrepreneurs and people that, it's crucial that that first $100, $200, $50,000 of seed money. And, you also, have to recognize that they're not taking any of the company, so you have more equity to play with. And, I love being part of entrepreneurship. I think that it's our job to pay it forward and help other entrepreneurs who will go out there and organically employ more people and give more jobs out there and then hopefully inspire other people and become the next Damon John or even better,
Yeah, absolutely. But there's other benefits because I've been part of the contest for 2 years now. There's other benefits beyond just the cash prizes, right? They get exposed to all sorts of people to get feedback on what they're doing.
Absolutely. They get validity in their ideas. They get to improve their pitching abilities. Some of them even get healthy exits, as one of the winners, I think it was called Swift Media.
Yeah.
I think they just sold for $27 million, and you look at the Bellhop guys who are with me now. They have a large amount of investments that were deployed to them after that, and so other people are believing in it. So this is not just one stop. This is one of the stops for as you grow the company.
I think that's amazing. So Stephen, actually, let's see if we can get a bid for $100 million for Bellhops. How does that sound?
We got big plans.
All right, big plans. So how did the idea for Bellhops actually come about? Because the idea of a moving company or someone to help you move really isn't original. What was your take on it?
Yeah, so Cameron and I went to school together, and every time we would go home for the holidays or for break, it was like it was broadcasted on Barry's radio show.
Right, exactly.
Chicago, and our phones would ring off the hook, and people weren't calling us to come do calculus for them or talk about the business classes we were taking. They wanted us to lift their couch and move their bed because, you know, they needed someone they trusted, and they needed someone that was young and athletic and could really do the hard work that was, you know, within their network. So.
And they didn't want to ask their friend, right?
Well,
because they don't have to reciprocate.
Well, we were their friend. Yeah. Well, we were. Yeah. The purpose of the business is so you don't have to ask your friends. But you know, we were being asked by friends and family, and you don't really want to do it, but you do it because they're your friends and family. So, you know, what do people do that don't have, you know, someone that, you know, they can call on? So we did some research and found out that 38 million Americans move themselves every year. So they don't hire moving companies, and. Our goal was to create a product that was trustworthy, that was on demand, that had great customer service, that had athletic people that, you know, were optimistic and still excited about life to come come help you out during, you know, the crazy process that already is, you know, the transition from house to house or apartment to apartment. So that's why we started. And people were so thankful for our help that, you know, we wanted to give everyone a chance to experience that.
So you guys were the big winners last year. You won $200,000, but you also got advice from Damon. What's the best advice that he gave you about how to move your business forward?
So what Damon did with Fubu was he created a product for a market, and he knew how to shape and brand and message that product to people that wanted it. And what he's really drilled down to us is, who are you talking to? How do you make them feel comfortable with your brand? And, you know, how do you become a household name in what you're doing? And you're the go-to person when you want X, right? So, you know, Damon is big on branding and messaging, and, you know, just kind of hammered that down to us, and it became a focus for us going into 2015.
So what brand do you hope to portray with Bellhops? What do you want people to think about?
Yeah, so we want to be – you know, the moment you begin that treacherous process of getting a new job or getting married or getting divorced or downsizing or, you know, a loved one passed away, when you begin that process, we want to be the service that you think of.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be the first people that you think of when you're about to begin this. You know, not only are traumatic things happening in life that are causing you to move, but then you actually have to physically do it. So, you know, a company that needs to help you needs to have great customer service and great employees and a great team to help you through that transition. So we want to be a company that, you know, owns the process from beginning to end.
So Cameron, what advice would you have for entrepreneurs thinking about entering the Tap the Future contest this year, given it's had a tremendous impact on your business?
Yeah, you know, my advice is to go for it. Because, you know, like Damon mentioned, you're not giving up any equity if you win the $200,000. It's just a check that goes straight into your bank account.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's really nothing to lose. But the real takeaway here is even the application process for the, you know, thousands that didn't win, the application is incredibly valuable because it's teaching you real-life lessons on how to formulate your pitch, how to raise money for your company, and things that you'll keep forever in business.
And so what would you say the impact really has been on your business, Cameron, if you're getting this kind of exposure? It's got to be beyond the $200,000.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the exposure being with your being associated with a brand like, you know, Miller Coors is fantastic. You know, we're on the radio right now. I can plug in, like, hey, we're launching in Chicago in April, which we are.
Right.
You know, being associated with Damon.
Just in time to move me, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
You can go to getbellhops.com.
There you go.
But anyway, you know, it's just an incredible opportunity to get your name out there.
So Damon, just one last thing. Where can entrepreneurs apply for Tap the Future this year?
Well, you can go online and apply, mltapthefuture.com. You have to be 21 years and over. Apply by April 10th, and we're going to be hitting 6 cities in the month of July, and we're just out there looking for those authentic and original ideas, and hopefully somebody listening right now will be one of the companies or individuals to walk away with $200,000.
Guys, congratulations. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Well, what if it took only one thing to be successful? What if it took 4 seconds to be more productive? That's coming up next. This is AM 560, The Answer.
So, the Republicans are starting to figure out who they want to try to take back our country in November 2016. They need to stay focused on the goal. Rather than tear apart the party and bring down the candidate they don't want, Republicans would be smart to focus on what's truly important. After 8 years of a liberal in the White House, undoing the damage has to be the top priority. Republicans should rally together around that one candidate who is the most electable. Can they do that? We'll find out. AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Gary Baumgarten. He went on an emergency aid flight to Vanuatu, torn apart by Cyclone Pam. What he saw wasn't pretty.
Trees, houses, pretty much flattened.
And Matt Ferris, he's a squadron leader with the Royal New Zealand Air Force, interviewed by Sky News. Secretary of State John Kerry says he's not interested in extending the end of March deadline to come to a nuclear agreement with Iran.
We believe very much that there's not anything that's going to change in April or May or June that suggests that at that time, a decision you can't make now will be made then.
His remarks made in an interview to be aired later this morning on CBS's Face the Nation. In Ferguson, black business leaders meet with the mayor to discuss the downturn in trade since the Michael Brown shooting and protests. Fox News. We report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm George Katsopoulos, taking a look at your traffic. No problems to report on the Edens, the Kennedy, the Eisenhower, or the Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are fine. So is Lakeshore Drive and the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. As always, Tri-State, Jane Addams, Reagan, and Veterans clear. Route 53 and I-80, same thing. I-80, 94, the Chicago Skyway, Indiana Toll Road, and I-65 moving at posted speeds. This traffic report is brought to you by Unbound. You are not alone. That's the message you send when you sponsor an elder living in poverty. Unbound is the only international sponsorship organization serving society's oldest and most vulnerable members. Learn more at unbound.org. That's unbound.org. AM 560 weather right now. It is about 39 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next update will be in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
4 new employees. A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognized the folks that have the courage to challenge the industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about, and you can be nominated right now. Go to rulebreakerawards.com. That's rulebreakerawards.com. And nominate an entrepreneur for changing the industry rules. And hey, if you're a real rule breaker, you'll nominate yourself.
Confidence. Do you have it? This is Dr. Anna Palak from Total Dentistry in Palatine and Yorkville. Confidence is what you feel when you know your teeth are white, your gums healthy, and your breath fresh. And that confidence shows in your smile. We see smiles of confidence every day when our patients leave the office after a cleaning, a whitening treatment, or a dental procedure. And those smiles make our day. Patients come in worried, often fearful, and we do whatever we can to make them comfortable. It might be an insurance concern, fear of pain, or even worries about how they'll look after we fit them with braces, dentures, or implants. But we address your every concern, and when we're done, we want to see that confident, beautiful smile. I invite you to call for an appointment today at 847-358-2477. Come on in and see our remodeled offices. Total Dentistry, a practice like no other. General Dentistry and Family Dentistry. Learn more at TotalDentistry.org.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
You know, we all get frustrated in trying to get more things done. There never seems to be enough time. But what if you could be more productive in just 4 seconds? My next guest has the answer. Peter Bregman is the author of the Wall Street Journal bestseller, 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, Get the Right Things Done, winner of the gold medal from the Axiom Business Book Awards, named the best business book of the year on NPR, and selected by Publishers Weekly and the New York Post. He's got a new book out. Now it's called 4 Seconds, All the Time You Need to Stop Counterproductive Habits and Get the Results You Want. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me here.
I'm so glad that we gained 17 minutes and 56 seconds in this new book.
Yeah, you know what? 18 minutes is just too long.
It's just really too long. So why can't we get anything done in our business world?
You know, we are so overburdened and overwhelmed. I mean, I feel this myself. I don't come at any of my work from, you know, the perspective of a guru who descends from his heavenly perch to share great wisdom. I struggle with all of the same stuff that everybody else does. I have a to-do list that's way too long. I get myself in trouble by saying the wrong thing. I get hooked and triggered. And we have too much to do, and on top of that, we use our time poorly, meaning we waste our time getting ourselves in trouble, responding poorly to situations, reacting in ways that take more time and that don't get us the results that we want.
Well, that feels good, doesn't it? It feels good, at least at the moment, right?
Yeah, I think
it's immediate gratification.
What we want to do in the moment is often different than what we want to have done at the end of the moment.
So you have this thing about 4 seconds, about this method. Tell us about it.
So my sense is that people talk about changing a habit, it takes 21 days, et cetera, and that hasn't been my experience. My experience has been that one moment of awareness can change anything. So we have to interrupt our process right at that moment. I spoke to a neuroscientist, a guy named Dr. Joshua Gordon. He's a professor at Columbia. And he was saying that when the stimulus goes to the amygdala, that's the reptilian part of our brain, that's the part of the brain that evades saber-toothed tigers and yells at your boss, that if the stimulus goes there and it makes us react immediately, and we just have to give it just enough time to get from the amygdala, that emotional part of our brain, to the prefrontal cortex. That's the smart, thinking, thoughtful, logical part of the brain. That takes 1 to 2 seconds. If we slow down 1 to 2 seconds, we can allow our thinking brain to take cognitive control over our emotional brain. So when I said 4 seconds, I was being generous.
Right.
I doubled the amount of time that he was saying we actually needed.
So your method is, and you write in the book, you have to pause, breathe, and then course correct. Talk more about that.
Yeah, I think that there's actually really 3 things that we need in order to subvert unproductive behaviors. And so many of our knee-jerk, gut, intuitive reactions are counterproductive. They work against us. So in order to subvert those, you need 3 things. You need a moment of awareness. You need the capability to resist urges. And then you need a replacement behavior. It's that simple. And the 4 seconds is the moment of awareness. Take a deep breath. 4 seconds is also the amount of time it takes to take a deep breath. So take a deep breath and resist the urge to do what's automatically coming at you. We have these patterns, and we follow our patterns, and the patterns often don't get us to the outcomes we want. So in that moment of awareness, 4 seconds, think for a second, what's the outcome I want? What am I going for here? Do I want a relationship with this guy? Do I want to just get out of the conversation as fast as I can? What do I want? I can't tell you how many arguments people end up in when really what they want to do is just get away. So don't argue. Arguing is just going to keep you there longer. Just find your way out. And so you pause, you resist the urge to do what comes naturally, like arguing, for example, if you disagree with someone, and then you have a replacement behavior.
Now, one of the things you talk about in the book, and I love that we're still afraid of saber-toothed tigers, even though they've been extinct for a lot of years, right?
Exactly.
So we're still being chased by those tigers are mine. With the last minute we have left, you also talk about that setting goals actually derails performance. Now, that goes against all business philosophy. Tell us about that.
I think that we're too wrapped up in goals, and I don't think the goals in and of themselves are terrible all the time, but I think they're misleading. And the chapter in the book that you're alluding to, as I wrote, Why the Pinto Blew Up, that's that chapter.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
And,
had one.
And yeah, so you had one.
It didn't
that's
blow
awesome.
Up.
I mean, it's not so awesome, but it's awesome in a certain sense. You know, the car ignited when it was rear-ended, and, mm-hmm. and the reason is actually the goal. It was the result of a goal that Lee Iacocca set, that we were going to have a car under 2,000 pounds and under $2,000 by 1970. And they achieved that goal. But in order to achieve that goal, they omitted all these safety checks. So and then the car blew up every time it was rear-ended. There's another great example, Ken O'Brien. He used to be a New York Jets quarterback. He was throwing too many interceptions. So he was given a pretty reasonable goal, fewer interceptions, and he was penalized financially for everyone, which is what we do, right? We often put our money behind our goals in order to sort of incent those goals. And it worked. He threw fewer interceptions, but only because he threw fewer passes. So his overall performance suffered, even though he achieved the goal. And we all know business people, entrepreneurs, who start a business with this larger objective that says, you know, I want freedom and I want to be able to spend time with my family and et cetera. 2 years later, they're completely immersed in their businesses. They've lost any relationship they even had with their family beforehand. They're overwhelmed, but they're achieving their goal. They're building their business.
Right. Peter, we got to leave it there. We're at the end of this segment. The title of the book is called 4 Seconds. Pause, breathe, and course correct. Peter, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up, are you ready for a little anarchy at work? We're going to talk about how to create just a little bit of chaos that can help your business. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm George Cotsubrillos taking a look at your traffic. No problems reporting on the Edens, the Kennedy, Eisenhower, or the Stevenson. Dan Ryan moving well, 15 minutes either way between 95th and downtown. I-57 headed inbound. You'll see some roadwork there from Halstead to the Dan Ryan. Left lane is going to be shut down. No issues on the Bishop Ford each way between the Ryan and 1894. It'll take you 15. Lakeshore Drive, the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. Fine. Tollways, some construction going on in the Adams. Headed eastbound between Route 25 and Bartlett for about another hour. It's going to block the right lane. Reagan Memorial, the Veterans Memorial clear. So is Route 53 and I-80, 8094, the Chicago Skyway, Indiana Toll Road, and I-65. All looking good. AM 560 weather. Right now it is 40 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Now, our next update will be in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number? Is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success.
Sage Cloud and software solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
So when you started your business, it was just chaos. And you kind of loved the anarchy that starting a business was all about. But then as you grew your business, all these rules set in as the company progressed. I think it's time to introduce a little bit of that anarchy, a little bit of that creativity back into your business. Here to help is Denise Bossler, an award-winning graphic designer, illustrator, and author, and professor of communication at Kutztown University in Pennsylvania. She's got a great new book out. It's really wonderful to look at. It's called Creative Anarchy. Denise, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So tell us, what does creative anarchy actually mean?
Well, creative anarchy, I have to give you a short background, actually stems from the reality of creativity, which is that there's no new ideas out there. And everything has been done before in one way or another. And to some, that might sound defeatist and depressing, but it isn't. It's an amazing opportunity to put your own mark on the creative world. And creative anarchy is taking that opportunity a step further by straying from the norm, recreating the idea as something different, giving it an unanticipated twist, and pushing the boundaries of the expected by turning it into the unexpected.
Now, there seem to be certain folks in business that that's all they do, and then others who are so afraid to step outside the boundaries. How can you do it, I guess, safely, or is there really no good way to do it? You just got to go for it.
Well, there's a couple of approaches to that. First off, you have to get rid of the box. You know the one that you're supposed to think outside of.
Right, exactly.
Right. Forget the box. There is no box. Destroy the box. You have to regain the curiosity of a four-year-old and start asking why, and then ask why not. Why not use green instead of blue? Why not use 3D printing as a way to explore new options? Why not let a flying purple unicorn be your spokesperson? You have to be free to explore ideas and not just seemingly the good ones. You have to explore all the ideas. You have to hold a no-holds-barred brainstorming session where anything goes. Because the second you squash or limit a potential idea is the moment you stop being creative. And the ability to push boundaries is a really respected quality. For some, pushing boundaries might mean using Helvetica instead of Times New Roman. But for others, it will mean scrapping the current way of thinking and putting everything on the line to take a risk. And I think the most respected boundary pushers are those that enhance creativity and innovation with the needs of their business in mind.
You know, I love the idea you're talking about how you still got to remain curious. And I think over time, that kind of gets squashed in a lot of organizations. How can you retain that curiosity?
Well, you need to collaborate. And that's one of the biggest things that I find that will keep the creativity going and allow it to grow instead of be squashed. And part of that collaboration is getting outside of your own little bubble. So I like to say break the creative bubble by going to people who are available to help you. So working with your marketing team and your business consultants and your graphic designer and your web designers will not only create a better product but a better working environment for creativity. But the trust in creativity has to go both ways. So you have to have trust that these people are competent in their jobs and have your best interest in mind and will give you lots and lots of creativity. But you also have to have them trust you to give them the information that they need and the freedom they need to do their job. So the creative collaboration will help you get outside of that bubble and let your ideas grow.
You know, trust is such an important element because you talk about you have to know when to follow the rules and when to break them. And I guess as a small business owner, how do you know when to follow the rules, when to break them? And then for your employees, when should you say, well, I really want you to follow the rules, but I want you to break them? It's so difficult to actually implement.
It is. It's very, very tough to know where that boundary can be crossed and where you're allowed to do that sort of thing. So I like to go with four steps. It's really easy. You have to look at the rules, right? So let's talk about the rules. The first rule is your safe option. You know, these are the rules that you always follow every day, and it's essentially the way you've always done it. Although it does beg the question as to why you've always done it that way. Is it because it's successful? And if so, that's awesome. Or is it because everybody else is doing it? And if everybody else is doing it, is it because it's successful? Or is it because everyone else is doing it? So you have to strive to be a thinker and a doer and not a follow the leaderer. But option two is that moderate safe option where you can start to push the boundaries of the safe option number one, but you start to feel a little uncomfortable, but not in a terribly bad way. It's an opportunity to test new ideas from the safety of your current boundaries. Option three is a moderate experimental option, and this is the one where your boundaries come down and your comfort zone has been left behind a little bit. And this is where you allow yourself to take a risk. This is where you listen to the crazy idea and say, okay, how does this fit within my business? And how can I just, you know, put the safety zone aside for a minute and see if this is actually going to work with us? And maybe we test it with our audience. And then the fourth option is truly the anarchist option. Of course, it's my favorite option. this is the option where you just completely destroy the boundaries with dynamite. Your comfort zone is on another planet now, and you truly allow the crazy, insane idea to have ground and to take legs and to run with it. Of course, with all of these options, you have to remember your target audience. You have to remember your business. You can't abandon that completely. Communication is the heart of everything that you do. So as long as your validity is there and the communication is there and your business is there, I see you go for it. And you allow your employees and you allow yourself to come up with any idea that you want.
Denise, it's good stuff. Tell a book is called Creative Anarchy. Denise, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much.
Coming up next, if you're a small business that owns a retail store, how do you compete effectively with the big box guys? This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
I have a confession to make. My name's Tony Orlando, and I love the services at the UPS store.
I also have a confession to make. I'm a UPS store owner, and I wish more people knew about our printing services.
I love your printing services.
You know we can print almost anything. Flyers, business cards, brochures.
You are my new best friend.
Visit theupsstore.com and see why small business owners can't get enough of everything we do. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognized the folks that have the courage to challenge the industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about, and you can be nominated right now. Go to rulebreakerawards.com. That's rulebreakerawards.com. And nominate an entrepreneur for changing the industry rules. And hey, if you're a real rule breaker, you'll nominate yourself.
The network is down again. No servers, no email. We can't print nothing.
I can't do this anymore. XYZ IT is done. Time to call the pros at Turnkey IT.
Turnkey IT, how may I help you?
I want to be all in. I need my network fixed.
Help is on the way.
Boss, what's going on?
It's Turnkey IT. I'm done messing around with providers that can't meet our needs. Turnkey IT will replace our equipment, monitor our computer systems, provide our help desk, and spring into action just like a technical SWAT team.
Wow, look at these huge new monitors. And I can't remember the last time I could access our servers so fast.
Let Turnkey IT bring your company all in, too, even if you don't need the full package. They've got programs to handle whatever your company's needs might be. Secure your company. IT needs today at turnkey.pro. That's turnkey.pro.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, what's it like to have a local retail business and be forced to compete against the big box stores? My next guest has done that successfully for over 10 years. Jason Sanchez is the founder and owner of Pet Stuff, with seven neighborhood pet stores and area-wide pet delivery service, or pet supply delivery service. You don't actually deliver pets, Jason, do you?
No,
No, nothing live, just the stuff.
Just the stuff. So how'd you get started, and how do you really effectively compete with PetSmart and Petco?
Well, about 10 years ago, I used to volunteer at a shelter in the downtown area, and I just realized that there was nowhere for people to buy pet supplies, and the light bulb went off, and I said, hey, wait a minute, there's no stores in downtown Chicago. This doesn't make any sense. And I opened a store right by the shelter.
And exactly where was that?
That's the store at 509 North LaSalle. It's across from actually Anti-Cruelty Society, one of the biggest shelters in downtown Chicago.
And so do you find that since you're located in places where the big guys aren't, is that really what your strategy is?
You know, honestly, it was originally, and as things have changed, the big guys got closer and closer where we're actually directly competing with them within a few blocks of a few of my stores now, and it wasn't like that when I first started, so they are competing direct with us very close.
So how do you build a profitable business that sells pet supplies when, obviously, it's difficult to compete with PetSmart and Petco?
You know, it's not easy. Early on, 10 years ago, we did same-day delivery, which was nobody even understood what that meant back then for pet supplies. And that's been a big differentiator because the big guys just would not do that. Then a few years ago, I changed the model to free same-day delivery, which, that was forced because of Amazon, the online guys, getting faster and cheaper. And that's a big differentiator. And, of course, you know, customer service and product quality. We have stuff that the big guys just can't even get a hold of because the companies won't sell to a Petco or PetSmart type of chain.
Now, you also work with other local businesses to form alliances, right?
Yeah, we try to work with local vets as much as possible. Or we try to work at the shelters, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But the local vets are a good resource to try to team up with as much as possible.
Now, my understanding is you also hire from the neighborhood.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, being a local company, we hire people who are extremely local. And, you know, another thing, too, is that some of our customers don't understand that when you shop at a local business like ours, the dollars kind of recirculate in the neighborhood. They stay with our local employees, with our local suppliers. You know, we do things locally when we have functions and meetings. It's all local at a local restaurant, that kind of thing. And it recirculates the money locally, too, which helps everybody.
So are you able really to compete upon price, or do you have to do other kinds of things?
You know, like I said before, I think delivery is a key for us. And, just different products, higher quality products. That's the big thing is you can't get these brands that we sell in a Petco or PetSmart. And so people really seek out a smaller store for some of these higher quality products because they're just not in those big box stores. That's a big thing for us.
And just the last thing, you have a fairly unique loyalty program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we did that a few years back to just obviously be more competitive on price. And, it brings our prices down for our more loyal customers. It's a simple program, and I designed it being simple because I saw how difficult the big box stores were with their loyalty, where we give you a point for every dollar spend. You hit $250, it's $20 off, it's an 8% rebate. So really, our best customers don't even pay full price.
That's great. Well, give us your website if people want to get in touch with you.
We are at petstuff.com, and like I said, we have 7 stores in the area, and we also do free same-day delivery in Chicago area.
Jason, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's it for this episode of Business Insanity Talk Radio. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One, Nextiva, and of course, new this month is the UPS stores. Special thanks to our booking producer, Sarah Shaffrin, and our producer behind the glass, Debbie. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, you got to give me a call, 773-935-5181, or email me at barry@moltz.com or www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Isn't it time you take your business next level? Aren't you tired of having your business control you? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
Find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Barely a week, and my skin.